message, and I'm going to share it with you. But we were worshiping, and then the song service was talking about the impossible, and God's a God of miracles, and if we'd only believe. And this verse came to me, Matthew 19, 26. But Jesus looked at them and said to them, "With men, this is impossible." Everybody say, "With men." It's impossible. But with God, everybody say, "With God." With God, all things are possible. And what I was just, as we were worshiping, I was just thinking about my good friends Scott and Nancy Hinkle here today. And they were just telling me about something impossible that became possible because they're with God. See, they're having a revival in Cuba. And that's impossible with men. But they've been preaching in Cuba, and you can't get in Cuba. You know, I mean, you used to couldn't get in Cuba, but with men, impossible means it means I can't do anything about that. But it really depends on who you're with. If you're with God, if you're with men, it's impossible. If you're with God. Everybody say, "With God," and I'm with God, all things are possible. And I think about Dr. Vaughn here on the second row. Man, she's gone to China, all over the world. It's impossible what she's done, and even what she's doing now. But with God, everybody say, "With God." And I was just with Marilyn Hickey and Sarah, and her daughter Sarah, and we've taped a couple television programs, and she's going to Pakistan in July. She's going to Pakistan, and then she said, I gave her a word that God had. He wasn't done with her. She's 86, almost 87 years old, sharp as a tack, man. And she said, "I want you to pray with me, Brother Moore." I said, "Okay, what do you want?" She said, "God spoke to me to call Paula White, who is close to Donald Trump, and I told her, tell Mr. Trump that I want to go do a healing crusade in North Korea." Hallelujah. Well, you can't do that. Yeah, with men, you can't do it. With God, everybody say, "With God." So the question is, who are you with? I said, "Who are you with?" And here's the reason, here's the point for me to bring that up this morning. We're going to talk more about that tonight. But the point is, what has God put in your heart that seems impossible? What has God spoken to you about that with men, it's impossible? In other words, you can't do it by yourself, but if God breathed that in your heart, it's possible. I said, "It's possible." He'll make a way if you just believe. Just say, "I believe that whatever God put in my heart is possible." Praise God. Amen. So this is a good day. It's a wonderful day. And it's great to be back at Calvary Cathedral International. Tonight I'm going to talk about the enemies of healing. You know, and people are going to be healed because God has healing for you. Yes? If you believe that God, it's the will of God, for God to provide doctors and medicine to help us to be healed. How many of you know God can do supernatural healing as well? So I want to tell you a funny first. Is that okay before I get into the message today? This is called, "Is There Softball in Heaven?" Two 90-year-old women, Bertha and Betty, had been friends all of their lives. And it was when it was clear that Bertha was dying, Betty visited her every day. One day, Betty said, "Bertha, we both love playing softball all of our lives. We played all through high school and college and even beyond. Do me one favor, please. When you get to heaven, I must know, somehow you must let me know if there's women's softball in heaven." Bertha looked up at Betty from her deathbed and said, "Betty, you've been my best friend for all these many years. If it's at all possible, I'll do this one favor for you." Shortly after that, Bertha passed on. A few nights later, Betty was awakened from a sound sleep by a blinding flash of light. And she heard a voice calling out to her, "Betty, Betty, who is it?" asked Betty, sitting up suddenly. "Who is it?" "Betty, it's me, Bertha." "You're not Bertha. Bertha just died." "Well, I'm telling you, it's me, Bertha." And Betty said, "Bertha, where are you?" She said, "I'm in heaven. And I have some really good news for you and a little bad news." "Well, tell me the good news first," said Betty. "The good news," Bertha said, "is there's women's softball in heaven. Better yet, all of our old buddies who died before me are here too. Even better than that, we're all young again. Better still, it's always springtime and it never rains or snows. And best of all, we can play softball all we want and we never get tired." "That's fantastic," said Betty. "That's beyond my wildest dreams. So what's the bad news?" "You're pitching on Tuesday," said Praise God. That's awesome. That's funny. I don't care who you are. That's funny. All right. Turn to 1 Corinthians 4, verse 15. It's good to see Phil here. We've been praying for you, brother. Praise God. Man, he could be watching me. He could be watching me at home. And he's here today. So we just pray strength to you, resurrection life to you, health to you. Amen. All right, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 15. "For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers." You do not have many fathers. "For in Christ I've begotten you through the gospel." So, you know, I was raised in basically in a single parent home. My parents were divorced when I was 8. My mom moved us from Davenport, Iowa to Houston, Texas, and so I didn't see my dad that much. I didn't have a father around to help me learn things that fathers teach, and I just grew up with this desire to I didn't know how to be a dad because I didn't have the model. And I grew up with a desire to be a good husband, to be a good father, but I didn't know how. Yeah? But how many of you know God knows how? And so I prayed that prayer. I wanted to know how to be a good dad, be a good husband. And so this is Father's Day. And, you know, I want to talk to you this morning about what God has shown me about the character traits of a good father, okay? The character traits of a good father. A lot of this I learned from my pastor. We need fathers today. We need men who are leading their families, who are serving God and following the things of God and are models for us. How many of you women want a strong leader as a husband or as a father? Yeah, we need that today. Would you agree? And we need leaders in the body of Christ today. And it's difficult to be a good father without first being a good son. So let me ask you a question: who are your fathers? You know who? And you're not going to have many fathers, but I attached myself to Bob Nichols and 1994, he bailed us out of a difficult situation when our church was going through an involuntary church plant, otherwise known as a church split. And, you know, he helped us through that, but he didn't just help us through that. He gave us instruction and told us, we've got a prayer meeting here at 5:42 in the morning, and I want you to come. And we lived in Decatur. We had to drive down 45 minutes here, and then to be here at 5:42, so we got up great time early before the daylight to get here, but he was a father to us and took us under our wing, and that's been my passion. I want to be a good dad. I want to be a model for other people to follow, that as I follow the Lord, they would follow him. When I want to live my life in such a way that a preacher doesn't have to lie at my funeral. When I get to heaven, I want to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I don't want to hear, "Well." And so it's been a passion of mine because I didn't have a dad. I didn't have wisdom. I didn't know how to live life. I didn't know how to fix things. I still don't know how to fix things. The people call my house and ask Janice, "Is Greg handy?" She'll say, "No, but he's here." And I know the difference between Phillips and a regular, but you don't want me working on your car or, anyway. But I wanted to know how to live. I wanted to know how to lead a family. I wanted to know how to be a good leader. And so the things I'm going to share with you for the next few minutes is what God's taught me about how to be a good father. Okay, which this isn't not just for natural children, though it applies to natural children. But we've got a commission from God that we're to invest in the next generation. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2 tells us that we are to think generationally. The things that you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. We've got to think about the next generation. And if we're going to do that, we've got to be good fathers. We've got to be good examples. We've got to know, I want to be somebody that others would want to follow. How many of you desire that? And you're not just taking up space on the earth. You want to make a difference in the lives of others. And I want to be a father. I want to be a good spiritual father, and as well as a natural father, as my pastor is. Yes? I want to make him proud, not from the standpoint of, feeling good about myself. I just want to represent Jesus and him and the kingdom in a good way. Would you agree? Yeah. So I want to talk to you about a few of these character traits, and I'm not going to unpack all of this, okay, for the sake of time. I'll spend more time tonight in the message, but I do want to tell you the essential character traits of a good natural father or a good spiritual father. Is anybody interested at all in that? Okay, so number one is Pastor already talked about, it's a given. You can't be a good father if you don't know the Heavenly Father and put Him first, right? Number one is being a provider. Everybody say provider. So 1 Timothy 5:8 says, "If anyone doesn't provide for his own, especially for those of his own household, he's denied the faith and worse than an unbeliever." So what are we to provide for our children naturally and spiritually? Well, certainly, there's financial provision. But as John Hall so aptly communicated, that sometimes your children's idea of provision is different than what's best for them. Yeah, but we need to provide more than just financially for our children. Let me tell you four things that fathers should provide for their natural and spiritual sons. Number one, we need to provide roadmaps for our children. We need to show them the right roads to travel. To go with them first and then let them travel on their own. We need to provide roadmaps for them. And where do we get that? We get that from the Word. And you can't do that if you don't have a relationship with God. How are you going to show them the way, the right way, if you don't know the way? And if you don't know the Lord, that's the blind leading the blind. Then number two, we need to provide them labs or laboratories. We need to provide them a safe place to experiment and apply things that they've learned, a guilt-free and a shame-free environment where your sons are given permission to make mistakes and fail forward. We need to provide them a place where they can experiment and they can try. And they can, you know, man, when my kids were little and I was mowing the grass and we had a riding lawnmower in this big place. Hey, man, my sons, they wanted to get on that riding lawnmower when they were seven and drive that thing. Well, I got them on there with me. You know, when they were 9 or 10, they could drive the thing. But you want to give them opportunities, and it's inconvenient. It's inconvenient to disciple children and give them laboratories because they're going to make mistakes and they're going to mess up. Remember? But thank God for, you know, I mean, when Pastor Bob reached out to us, nobody knew us. Nobody knew us. I mean, I wondered if God even knew us. And I mean, we're pastoring in Decatur, Texas. 5,000 people. It's like I thought he sentenced me to anonymity. And Pastor reached out to us. And then he platformed us. I mean, at no benefit to him. I mean, he platformed us and let us speak and preach. And then, you know, it's, man, you know, can you... I mean, he didn't. There was no benefit I had to give him, but he was training me. He was preparing me. He gave me a place to practice and hallelujah. You know, doctors, they have a practice, right? They practice on us. Then we need to give them roots. Fathers need to give their sons and daughters roots. Security inside your relationship. That is identity-based, not performance-based. It's, you know, look, you're my son because I love you and you're my son, not because of what you do. And I give you roots. I give you security. I believe in you and I believe in who you are. Not what you do for me. And you can't shame me. My sons can't shame me. I refuse. Jesus is not ashamed to call us brethren. And no matter how bad we mess up, He's not ashamed to identify with us. And how many of you understand being a father, being a parent, is a pride buster? Oh, yeah. Because they mess up. And then that's your son or your daughter. Well, you know what? I've just decided, Janice and I just decided, my children can't embarrass us. Because it's not about us. And we give them roots and let them know we believe in them, whether they do it right or not. Yeah? This is good stuff. And where they learn to live in the fear of the Lord and not the fear of man. And then we give them wings. We give them wings. Wings let you fly. And we give them permission to get out of the nest and go do family business and use their own gifts and outside of our own. And they don't have to be what I want them to be. I want them to find out God's will and do what God's telling them to do. And I'm okay with that. I don't want one of them to do what I'm doing because God told me to do this. I want them to find God's plan for their lives. Yeah? And then cut the apron string. Mama, cut the apron string. Just let them go. Let the bird fly. Amen? They'll be back at your house one day, I promise you. Praise God. The second thing, just be an encourager. A good father is an encourager. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. What is he saying there? When you encourage your sons and daughters, it gives them grace or the power to become what they don't think they can do. Thank God for pastor. Listen, I didn't see myself successful. I didn't see myself. I mean, I'm not telling you I'm some great person today. I'm great because of God. But I didn't see myself doing what pastor, until pastor believed in me. And when he gave that encouragement to me, it gave me the power to become all that God called me to do. And now, man, I'm writing books. I've just finished my latest book on flowing in the supernatural, and Destiny Image is picking it up. And man, I mean, all kinds of things are happening, but not because I'm so great, but because God is so great. And he gave me an awesome father that encouraged me and believed in me when I didn't believe in myself. And I want to do that for others. That's my heart. Is, look, God, help me. My platform of success, whatever it is, it's to lift somebody else up and help them succeed and believe in them like my pastor has believed in me. Amen. Man, that is awesome. A true father will correct the behavior of his son or daughter, but without attacking them. 2 Corinthians, I'm jumping a verse, guys, so forgive me. I'm not going to, for sake of time, I'm going to skip a verse. But 2 Corinthians 5, 16 and 17, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we've known Christ according to the flesh, yet we know him thus no longer. And if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. Here's the key, dads, parents. Here's the key to help your children, your spiritual children, your natural children, accomplish their new creation potential. How many of you want to help your disciples or your sons and daughters accomplish their new creation potential? You've got to see past their flesh. You can't accomplish verse 17 until you walk in verse 16, which said, I'm not regarding them or knowing them or identifying them after their flesh, after their mistakes, after, you know, you know it and you see it so well, their bad habits. I've got to mine the new creation potential out of them by seeing past their flesh and knowing them after the Spirit. And I can correct their behavior. It's not that I'm not, you know, I'll tell them, look, what you did was wrong, but here's what you've got to do. Instead of calling them a bad boy or bad girl or you're a bad son or bad daughter, no, I tell them, listen, what you did was wrong, here's why, but you're better than that. Say, so you're better than that. You got to tell your sons and daughters, you're better than that. Amen? Then number three is, and that leaves people with hope. That leaves your disciples. You can correct them, but you'll leave them with hope then. Yeah? Amen. And look, these are things I've learned from the Word, from my pastor, who's a good father, who I didn't have this example. And I'm a good dad today. I'm a good spiritual. I've got spiritual sons all over the place. And it's awesome. Then number three is a protector. Everybody say protector. And look, this is natural and spiritual, okay? And the spiritual, the natural side, obviously, is, you know, if somebody comes in and tries to, you know, mess with one of my family, you know, you're going to receive the other end of this fivefold ministry, okay? I'm not afraid to, you know, protect my family. That's not the issue, okay? But spiritually speaking, Exodus 18, 19 says, listen now to my voice and I'll give you counsel and God will be with you. Stand before God for the people. Everybody say, stand before God for the people. Well, who are we supposed to stand before God for the people more than the people who are our family, who are sons and daughters? And so it's up to you, mom and dad. Okay, you stand before God for your children when they're not living right, when they're not acting right, when they're not doing right. You know, real spiritual warfare is not just binding the devil. Real spiritual warfare is when the enemy comes to you and talks to you about your kids, whether it's your spiritual sons and daughters or your natural sons and daughters, and tells you like he's told us, look at you, what kind of pastor are you? What kind of parent are you? Your child's doing this and your child's doing that and they're messing up here. Well, I just tell them, well, thank you, Mr. Devil. while you're talking to me, telling me a fact of, yeah, they were out there messing up, man. One of my kids, they were just out there, you know, having a good time with the prodigal son, as a prodigal son. But I said, that's a fact. But let me tell you, while you're still here, let me tell you the way it really is. And then I just hit them with the word. Great is a piece of my children, because they've been taught of the Lord. Proverbs 6:22, when my children roam, the word will lead them. When they're asleep, it'll keep them. When they're awake, it'll speak to them. I just speak that word to them. And then Psalm 127:5, my children are going to speak with their enemies in the gate. And that means you, devil, you're going to rue the day you ever came against one of my children and tempted them and all that. After a while, I'm talking to myself, because the devil's gone. See, Galatians 4:19 says, for my little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. There are times when your natural sons and daughters and your spiritual sons and daughters are not going to do everything the way that you want them to do. And as a good father, as a good parent, you've got to... We cannot agree with what they're doing right now. We've got to pray the word over them and let the enemy know he's not going to have them. Not one hoof is going to hell. Not one of my children are going to hell. All right, it's true. It's a fact that they're not living right today. But let me tell you what the truth is, and then you speak the word of God. And then you pray the word of God over them. And then what happens? They'll turn around. Because, guys, look, the truth in God's word trumps the facts. And yeah, it's true, it's true, it's true, it's a fact. But this is more true. And I'm not going to agree with what the enemy is doing and tempting my children, that's the end. That is not the end. Everybody say it's not the end. No, I'm telling the devil and myself, this is the end. The word of God and what God has for them, that's the end. And I'm not giving up. I am not giving up. I am not giving up on my children. I'm not giving up on my sons and daughters. I'm talking to someone here today who your son and daughter or daughter is in a far spiritual country. Don't give up, mom and dad. Do not let go. You hold on. You protect them by praying over them. That's exactly what Paul, he's talking to the church here. I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. What's he talking about? That you're born again in your spirit, but they're not living that way. I want Christ formed in them. How many of you want Christ formed in your children? Well, be a good parent. Don't give up. I'm not giving up. We win. How many of you have sons or daughters, natural or spiritual, that are not living where they should today? All right, let me agree with you. Put your hand up. Father, I agree in Jesus' name with everyone here who's got a natural son or daughter that's straying from the way, that it's not the end. Lord, they're turning around. God, they're going to fulfill your will for their lives. They're not going to die the way they are. They're not going to hell. And Father, they're going to serve you. Lord, the word of God said they're going to come to the knowledge of the Lord and serve God. And as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Now listen, guys, get some word. Read the Bible and get some scriptures to speak over your children. I've got a book that's called Scriptures to Live By. You can get it, if it's not back here, you can get it on gregmoore.org. And it's just got categories of scripture. And one of the categories is about children. And you can just speak those scriptures, man, over your children. And I'm telling you, they'll turn around. But they're not going to do it if somebody's not in faith. And you got to, man, believe the word. Don't believe what they're doing. You believe the word and watch them. A good father will protect his children. And that's the way you do it. Amen. And number four, and I've got the airport in sight. We are just about to land. So don't get nervous. I'm not giving out parachutes, though. We're gonna land here in just a minute. All right. Then a good father is an instructor and includes natural and spiritual instruction. Ephesians 6, verse 4. Oh, can you put that up? And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. A good father is going to instruct his children. He's going to give them the truth. He's going to tell them what the Word says without blasting them. The way you make the distinction is you don't speak to their flesh, because their flesh or their natural mind has no ability to do the right thing. You speak to the spirits of just men made perfect. You speak to their spirit. You speak to their spiritual potential. And you tell them, again, I believe in you. This is what the Word says. You can't do it on your own. You can't serve God or live for God in the strength of your will or the power of the flesh. You just believe the Word of God. If you're born again, I'm calling forth your new creation potential. And in Proverbs 13:1, a wise son heeds his father's instruction. So you know what? A lot of people call pastor their pastor, and he's not. He is from his standpoint, but not from their standpoint. I mean, I've had pastor, you know, ask me to do things sometimes. It's like, man, in the natural, I didn't even know what he was. He'd just say, Greg, I want to do this for this person. Are you good for it? And I'm, well, yeah. And then I found out it's some money. And can you help me with that? All right, Pastor, how much you need? And to help somebody else. And sometimes he challenges me. Praise God. But I don't chafe under that. He's a good father. He's stretching me to do things beyond what my natural ability is. I need $1,000 to help this other pastor. Okay, praise God. I don't know where I'm going to get it, but I'm going to. No, but God provided it. And then when they were getting this years ago, when they were getting the TV station in Uganda, can you help with? We gave them $10,000 from our church that hurt us in some other areas. And in the natural, we didn't have it, but we just, you know what? Well, yeah, we can stretch here and stretch there and help another man's vision. And look where we are today. Because we sowed in another man's vision. What you make happen for someone else, God will make happen for you. And see, we want to be good fathers, but we need to be good sons first. And it's not always pleasing to the flesh. It's not always easy. But if a father asks you to do something, yes, sir, how can I help you to do it? Or if most of the time it's not that. Most of the time is he's sharing vision from his heart. All right, God, how can I help Pastor fulfill his vision? Because if I help him fulfill his vision, God's going to help me fulfill mine. Amen? That's awesome. And then finally, we have landed, and we're pulling up to the tarmac right now, is to be a good model. Everybody say a model. 1 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, I urge you, imitate me. Imitate me. And then 1 Corinthians 11:1, imitate me just as also I imitate Christ. And then another verse, Hebrews 13:7, remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow. Everybody say, whose faith follow. The bottom line, guys, is a good father. And when I'm talking about fathers, you know, really it applies to parents, fathers and mothers. A good father must give his son something to follow. In terms of acting, valuing the principles of the Word, hearing and following the Lord, walking in faith, modeling a life of character. Again, it's not like I put pressure on myself to live a perfect life. because I don't. I'm done trying to do that. Okay, but I do, I think, Janice and I think like this. You know, one day, 50 years from now, I'll probably, maybe 60, I'll be standing before the Lord. And you know what? I when I leave this earth, I want sons and daughters who say, you know what? I want to be like Greg because he showed Jesus to me. See, one day, I want to be like Pastor Bob. That's my goal, is to model what he's modeled for me. He's such a generous man, always thinking about others. And he'll call you when you're right in the middle of a crisis. One day, we just bought a new car for Janice, and I took her out when Steak and Ale, that was used to be our favorite place. Y'all remember Steak and Ale? Anyway, that was our favorite date place because it was quiet, you know, and it was good steak and quiet. And so we were driving back from Steak and Ale, man, we had one of these Texas hailstorms. You know what they're like? And we're driving up 287, and the wind is blowing this way, and the hailstones, baseball size, were coming this way. So you think that's not a little unnerving? And then baseball size hail, and it's coming on Janice's side, and I mean, boom, 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 you know. And I mean, we're driving down the highway. What are you doing? We're praying, right? Praying in the Spirit, and then finally get over underneath an overpass, and crowded under there with everybody, and pastor calls. He said, "Greg, what are you doing?" I said, "I'm in my Frady hole right now underneath this overpass." He said, "Well, I just was praying for you." Well, praise God. You know, the hail totaled our brand new car, but it didn't bust the windows and it didn't hurt Janice enough. Because we had a father that was praying for us. And you know, I want to be like that. I want to be a man. I'm not thinking about myself. It's not about me. It's not about me looking good or me being rich and famous. It's about how I can leave and invest in other people. The Word of God, the love of God, the character of Jesus. I want to be like that. How about you? Amen. Amen. Is this helpful this morning? You know, here's what I want to do today, guys. I'm done. We've landed. Here's what I want to do. I want to pray. I want to pray for all the dads. If these things are what you want to be a leader like this. You want to be a dad. You know what, guys? I didn't know how to do it. That's the thing. I mean, I'm the least likely to be standing before you talking about this because I didn't have a model until I met Pastor. But God sent fathers into my life like Pastor that helped me. And I didn't know how to do it, but how many of you know He does? Amen. And He'll help you to do that if that's you. And if you desire that and you desire my prayer for you, I'm not going to have you come down. I just want you to stand right where you are. I want to pray for you. I just want to pray for you. And you know what? This could be not just natural children. It can be spiritual children too. Yeah? How many of you want to be a good spiritual father? Amen. Praise God. Look at all these men, Pastor, that are standing. Praise God. Man, it's so awesome. Thank God. You know, I don't want to embarrass my future son-in-law here, but I'm telling you, Tim, I am so proud of you, and God's proud of you. And pleased with you, and he's got a plan for your life. I know he's got a good plan for your life to take care of my daughter. But I'm telling you, I'm speaking over you, the possibility for you to be this kind of man of God that I've talked about today, and I believe God's going to do that in you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Father, I pray for every one of these. Why don't you just put your hands up to God where your help comes from? Father, I just want to thank you for these men of God. Thank God for a church that's got men of God who really want to make a difference, who want to be a true father, a true leader that other people would want to follow. I speak unto you the grace of God. I speak unto you the same grace that came to me through my pastor, for you to be the leader, for you to be the man of God that would lead other people into the kingdom, that would make others want to follow Jesus the way you're following Jesus. Just say this with me. Heavenly Father,
I receive
your grace to be the leader, to be the man of God, to be the father, to be the model for others to follow. As I follow you, I'm going to be a good leader to others. I'm going to draw people to you. And God, I receive your grace. I receive your help to be the leader you've called me to be. In Jesus' name. Amen. Man, that's awesome, guys. Look, listen, I speak over you that grace of God. Now listen, here's the assignment. Okay, this is good for natural sons and daughters, but also spiritual sons and daughters. I want you to open your heart up like pastor's heart has been opened up to me and so many other pastors, and say, God, show me what I need to do in a tangible way with my sons or daughters to reach out to them, to do these things that you've learned today, to encourage them, to speak God's blessing over them, to encourage them. How many of you will do that? Just be available to the Holy Spirit this week to speak something from a father's heart to one of your sons and daughters. Also, to people that God will bring into your life that will look to you as a spiritual father. But guys, it's not about us. It's about reaching other people. Amen? It's about raising up a generation that will be followers of Christ. We love you guys. We appreciate you tonight. We're going to have a great time. I want to encourage you to be back. We're going to talk about the enemies of healing. Many people will be healed tonight. We love you. God bless.